to shed more light on this issue that Rasulullah hears us even now, let me give you the following analysis of the relationship between the soul and the body. We see, we hear, we smell, we touch, we taste, we understand, we memorize, we analyze other faculties. All these faculties, brothers and sisters, belong to the soul or the body, or the soul and the body together. We have three alternatives. The fourth is dismissed to another body, to another object. Our own faculties are with us. There are three logical possibilities. We see, who is seeing in you? The flesh and blood, the chunk of nerves and veins, or the soul, or a combination of both of them. Let us see, brothers and sisters. We go to the stage when we die. During that phase, the flesh is there, intact. The body is full, nothing wrong with it. Yet it doesn't move, it doesn't see, it doesn't hear, it doesn't feel, it doesn't understand, it doesn't comprehend. There's nothing there. All the faculties are gone. Where are these faculties? They went out of the body. They went out with the soul. Had these faculties all together were integral parts of the body, they wouldn't have been out of the body. Had even there been any combination between the soul and the body in these faculties, there would have been some remnant or traces of these faculties, senses in the body. These faculties, brothers and sisters, are a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to the soul. Your ruh is the one which sees, hears. When your soul gets out of your body, the faculties are still in it. Even interestingly enough, the awliya spoke beyond this level. We study until the moments of our death, as we should do. We should be seekers of knowledge until we die. But what about after death? If, brothers and sisters, your goal is knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is your quest, and your quest is for getting closer to Him, for getting stronger iman, your ruh continues to acquire more knowledge, to increase iman after death. Because that is the pleasure you had in this life. If your pleasure was food, women, money, then unfortunately there is nothing like this after death. Your soul would be bound in the grave, and there is no opportunity to get anything more after death. Because the soul doesn't need any food, doesn't need any drinks, no women, no marriage, no money, no business, nothing at all. If your soul's interest is solely the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to continue your knowledge, your quest, your search after death. One key proof to this is, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Everything, there is nothing but that glorifies Allah. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Several scholars of tafsir said, all matter around us, every animal, every piece of brick, every piece of metal, every rock, every every planet, everything around us glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is true. Some said it is not by a language, by a tongue, it is rather by their state expressing that they are created by Allah. The design and the wisdom within them tells that they are or have been created by Allah, so they guide you to Him. الشيخ الأكبر محيدين ابن العربي رضي الله تعالى عن the Sultan of all Gnostics, Sultan al-Arifin, says no. The verse states literally that they speak. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of the verse, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ Yet you do not comprehend their tasbih, their glorification. We comprehend their tasbih if it has been because of the design and the wisdom hidden in them. But we don't understand the language of animals when they communicate with each other. Not necessarily words spoken like human beings with various languages, because animals communicate in various ways. Science discovered many of these ways animals communicate. Even they are trying to take these models and copy them in making aircraft, for example, making sensors from far away. Even the smallest animal mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, a fly, science discovered it has 18 sensors. 18 sensors through which it can discover, it can look around and communicate with other flies. So, brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam hears us. All the faculties we have are a drop of his faculties. If he heard when he was alive the cracking of the heavens, wouldn't he hear you praying on him? If he sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saw the planets, all the planets, according to Al-Qadi Iyad in his marvelous work, Al-Shifa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the constellation and the major planets in the constellation, wouldn't he be able to see you if you are in China or in the UK or in South Africa or in Canada or somewhere around the world? It would be the easiest. Why? Because the bodies are veiled for us. They veil us from witnessing the truth in this life. This is why we can't see angels. But if you ask me, do souls see angels? I will tell you, yes, indeed, they do. After death. Especially when the angels come to ask you the question. Two angels will come to ask you the question. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the right answer. ما دينك؟ من ربك؟ ما دينك؟ ما تقول في هذا الرجل الذي بعث فيكم؟ We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our mouths with the best answers in these moments. Our bodies are the veils. Yet the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never veiled him. And here comes the notion talked about in the Sufi works that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is made of light. His name is light, as we read in the Quran al-Kareem. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ That has come to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a light and an illustrious book. Or as we read, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ The example of Muhammad, the example of his light referring to Muhammad, as Al-Qadi Iyad again narrates in Al-Shifa. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is aware of us. More than this, he sees us. More than this, he hears us sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Can we communicate with him on that level, brothers and sisters, so that we can start our journey to Allah from the right spot? Because to start from the right spot is the most important thing. If you want to travel to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should look for the guide. The first step is to look for the guide.